Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitter's machine. And there he is. The only cousin banned from Cracker Barrel establishments. Cousin Shade, everybody's favorite cousin. How's it going, brother?
Apparently not everybody's favorite. Some guy out there, or girl, running a social media account. Had enough of Cousin Shane. Got banned from Cracker Barrel. Ain't that something, Mike? Too much free advertising going on here. I mean, not to mention, I personally have probably built a Cracker Barrel by the amount of visits I've been in that country store. You know what I'm saying? If you take the money, and I get there's probably like two extra Cracker Barrels in Tennessee because of me, and this is what they do to me. You know?
Shut up. Anything. Big action, big city action. Shane, he says, I've contacted my brother. He works in the Cracker Barrel corporate office. We're going to get to the bottom of this for you.
I hope that's the truth. My kid just started her first job at Cracker Barrel.
I think that's what it was, man. Did she do a poor job day one, or what's the deal?
She came in there, you know, she's learning about the star system and everything. She's excited. They give her a free meal to come home with, so she got French toast. That's her favorite. And then I get this blow, man. And it was, you know, I didn't realize immediately, like, if you go to Cracker Barrel's account, they've not tweeted since 2017. So you're saying, hey, in 8 years, the only action they have is blocking me. It's kind of what it feels like. But I feel like, the best comment I'm seeing is they must be Vandy fans. So I'm assuming maybe one, you know, got upset that Big Orange Falls was giving them too much love or something.
Big City says 100%. That's the truth. Waiting for a response.
Big City, that I tell you, I'm not giving up on him. I'm not, you know, I'm hurt. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not giving up because it's like one of those things that says, let's just ban Cracker Barrel. And I'm like, but you know, these guys here at Exit 4 didn't do it. You know what I'm saying?
All right, be 100% honest with us.
Yeah.
Did you do anything inappropriate? Any DMs that you should not have sent? I mean, anything at all that could have led to this action?
No, the only thing is, if you look, it's not a very popular Twitter page, I guess. You know, right. I mean, it's not like some of these that really embrace social media. Mm-hmm. And you'd be amazed how many times me and Cracker Barrel are tagged. It's not just me saying something. It's like I catch a lot of strays with the Cracker Barrel love, and that's okay. I embrace it. I love it. But apparently whoever's running this social media account that's, you know, trying to answer why there's raw chicken, you know, or something, it's like all of a sudden there's like 300 people just chiming in saying, I love this breakfast, or I love it. You know, it's like, damn. You know, we just been promoting you. It's not like we've been bad, but apparently somebody, whoever's does the checks and balances, Twitter said, no more. I don't want to see any more Big Orange Falls. So,
right. So here's my plea to all the cousins. And I would 100% stress, be civil. I'm not saying to be crazy or anything.
Yeah.
But I think if they really want to help out Shane, there's two things they could do. They can DM Cracker Barrel. Mm-hmm. Or just at Cracker Barrel and then leave them. I think they'll see it. They do respond to tweets.
They do.
And just ask them to kindly unblock Cousin Shane.
That's it.
And maybe, I mean, I don't even, again, like you said, it's not all the place's fault, but maybe tell them you're going to boycott till Cousin Shane's unblocked.
Yeah.
But keep it civil. I think if you keep it civil, if we have 100 people do this, I think they'll unblock him.
And I'll try to tag them less. It'll be mutual. Don't be ugly about it. You know what I'm saying? I think we can get them back. So I just want back in the family, man. I feel like I got kicked out. You know, it's almost like, I don't know if they take my application. If I put it in there tomorrow, maybe I'm on some sort of list now. I haven't even ate since I got blocked. I'm afraid I'm going to walk in there and they're going to be like, whoa, you know, like the Chinese restaurant I go to. It's like, no. Mm-hmm. We're closed. You're not allowed in here. So
Liquid says, this episode is sponsored by Denny's. I thought that was a good one. Geez Louise says, do not Tesla the Cracker Barrel dealerships. No, do not do that. Oh, buddy. But hey, you know, Cracker Barrel may not love us, Shane.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, that's their loss, not ours. But JR still loves us, Shane. Oh, he just gifted another membership this time. Let me see who it is. Again,
he
I can never
Cracker Barrel. I'm going to flip this desk.
We're logging off. No, it's, oh man, what a name. Sanchos MacDos. Sanchos,
welcome to the family.
Please ban Cracker Barrel Sanchos. Thanks to the legend JR. JR doesn't support this behavior. I can tell you that.
No, but I would imagine JR will no longer go to Cracker Barrel until this is resolved. So I appreciate JR tremendously. And, you know, we welcome all the family members on this show, you know?
Right. Hey, how about this one? Gregory, shout out cousin Gregory. He says, you know, you made it when Cracker Barrel blocked you.
Not the number one response really was Chris Farley gif. Like, what'd you do? Like when the door falls off, Tommy boy.
All right, Shay, we could talk Cracker Barrel for hours, but they don't give us the time of day. Let's not give them another moment. So you know who we need to give some love to, Shane?
Who's that?
That's the Florida Gators. Come on, Shane. They've marched their way to the national championship. Going to play Houston. Remember again? Oh man,
I thought Duke won.
NIL's ruining college. I mean, I don't know. I'm telling you, this is exactly what I thought, Shane. The Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, the Final Four, it has been awesome. Florida, Auburn, back and forth, back. I mean, Auburn, they were going to win that game.
Yeah.
But once again, Florida's depth, they just keep throwing guys at you. They could play big. They could play small. Walter Clayton, I mean, he doesn't get enough credit for being maybe the best player in the country. Mm-hmm. It wasn't one of those deals where like Auburn choked, because Auburn, I think, for the vast majority of the season was probably the best team in the country. But Florida went into Auburn and beat them. And that's kind of when it started to shift for me to say, man, this Florida team, they look like the team. And then they won the SEC championship. That was my pick and I'm sticking with it, man. I think, again, we can talk Houston Duke here in a second, but I still think Florida is the team to beat, to win it all. And Auburn's probably the second best team in the country.
Honestly, when those two played, I felt like that was a national championship, man. Either one of those teams, I feel like we're going to win it all. And, you know, we're not there yet. So I don't want to get the cart too far in front of the horse, you know, because clearly I've been hurt this week. I don't want to get hurt again, but I do think that Florida has it. You know what I'm saying? They had a lot of ups and downs throughout the season, but by God, when they are up, they are unstoppable. They're unbeatable. And honestly, are you more excited that an SEC team is representing the in the national championship, or are you more excited that Duke is not? Huh?
Well, we knew we were guaranteed an SEC team, so I think I'm more excited that Duke is not there. And they got eliminated. I love Kelvin Sampson. I mean, he wasn't trashing them, but he said, hell, we went 34-3. We didn't play in Pony League or whatever he said. But yeah, what a game that was too, Shane, where Houston was down 6 with 33 seconds left. When they took the lead, Shane, which was obviously they won the game. It was their first lead, I think, since the score was 6-5. So man, what a showdown. And Cooper Flagg, he's a hell of a player, but he had his opportunity. He had a good look. He could have won it for Duke, and it was, I think the moment was too big for him, Shane. It was, that shot never stood a shot, and Houston marches on, and again, Florida is an underdog, Florida's the favorite, so Houston is in that underdog role once again. Very dangerous team, but the spread is only 1.5, so they're anticipating one hell of a showdown that tips off, I guess it's not kickoff, it's tip off of basketball, 9:00 Eastern, Shane, Monday night, so.
Yeah.
Might need to boil some coffee around 5-6 o'clock to watch this one.
Does this mean if Houston does win, Tennessee's the second best team in the country? I'm just trying to figure out how this works, because could you imagine all the material they had for Duke though? That's the funny part. Behind the scenes, they probably had videos already made up. They're like, hey, we got so much to talk about in this national championship match. And they're like, they have to throw it out the window. Like, do we have anything on Houston? Does anybody have?
Yeah, poor Duke. Poor Duke. You know what?
I did want to also give a shout out to MIZ Sticker Shop on Etsy. I noticed you see some more gear behind me here. Breathe if you hate Kansas, and that's with a lower K. I appreciate it. It's football's right around the corner, and they're saying, hey, man, how do we get something on the shelf? Me and Mike, I mean, look at Mike's. Mike has got a lot of material. A lot of that was sent in, but I just wanted to give a shout-out to him. He didn't have to do that. He took the time and couldn't put them all up, but really got some good stickers and magnets from him.
Yeah, you're starting to get a little bit more, you know, look at that. Yeah. Look at that. Let me, I'm going to go silent because I'm going to kick myself off.
Looky here, huh? Look at all that stuff, huh? Come on now.
Let me throw you back over here. There we go.
A lot of Kentucky bourbon, a lot of Tennessee stuff, MIZ. I've got the Mississippi State cowbell. I'm trying to expand the portfolio, if you will. So, yes, you saw there in the big section. We've got some space. So, you got something you want to – you want your team represented on the show? Just send it in. Me and Mike will definitely put it up there.
Yeah. Well, hey, and speaking of that, Shane, don't forget the group challenge. So that's coming down to the wire for when the tournament started. We did the group challenge, and I want to give a shout out to two people specifically, Shane. Cousin Sean Wilson, if Florida wins, he's going to win the bracket challenge. And if Houston wins, cousin Rodney Perkins is going to win it. So shout out Sean Wilson, Rodney Perkins. And I'm going to give both of them, Shane, because they made the top two. I think that's a champion in my book. You know, you make it all the way to the finals here. But and they both of them nailed the final four. They got every pick right. Sean went with Florida, obviously, and Rodney went with Houston. But both of them want to reach out to us at thatsecpodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to let them pick any item off our merchandise site, and I'm going to send it to them absolutely free, free of charge, free shipping.
Hell yeah.
Just reach out to us again at thatsecpodcast@gmail.com. They're the champions of the bracket, champions of life,
absolutely.
If you will.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you need me to stretch that shirt out before we send it over, just let me know. So.
Hey, look what says if he sends you a Gators logo, will you hang it up?
This is an SEC show, Mike. You know what I'm saying? Okay. It may be at the bottom down here. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, we had other news real quick here. Shade, Texas A&M. They hired a basketball coach. They tried to get Chris Beard from Ole Miss. Swung and missed there, but they got Bucky Ball. How about it, Shane? Bucky McMillan. He was Samford's coach, Shane. Yeah. Three-time Southern Conference Coach of the Year. Billy Lucci's down there. He's doing cartwheels, Shane. This guy's got 20-plus victories each of the last four seasons, and he won the SoCon Championship three times. 99-52 overall record. And I even heard, I don't know if this is true. I mean, who the hell knows? But I think it was probably Billy, so it's probably not true. But he said, hey, if Alabama's opening, if Auburn opened, they were going to hire this Bucky Ball. So A&M, they got them excited. I like Buzz Williams. I don't like the fact that he left. I thought he did a hell of a job for Texas A&M. But, you know, slow pace, defense, that doesn't get me excited. You know, I want some Bucky Ball. We're going to go up and down the court. I know Rick Barnes is killing it at Tennessee, but I prefer a high-paced Bruce Pearl, Todd Graham style, where you're Nate Oates, Jack and threes. You know, that's Kentucky's doing it now, too. That's the kind of basketball I want to see.
Oh, Bucky. How old's Bucky? That sounds like wasn't that Captain America's friend or something back in the day?
Yeah, I think he's about 25 years old.
Is he really?
I mean, I don't think he's that young, but he looks like he's 12.
Oh, no, I like Bucky sounds like an 80-year-old man, like him and Rick Barnes went to school together or something. So I like that, man. Let's get some youth in there. Let's be exciting. Like you said, Mike, some of the best basketball that you ever watch. You know, don't get me wrong, defense wins championships, as they say, but I think it's the exciting offense that brings people to the games, and I'm excited for him for sure.
Geez Louise says, Bucky, not my Captain America. And then cousin Bo, Bucky runs an up-tempo, full-court press, three-point shooting. I mean, that's music to my ears right there. You know what?
Yeah. I saw somebody comment, it's Boosie. So, like Bucky's.
Hey, shout-out Oklahoma man. Shane, he just gave us a donation here. Newer viewer, digging the show. Boomer.
Yeah. Well, welcome. Yeah, you know, whatever.
Send us some Oklahoma. He's got too much Missouri garbage back here. He needs some Oklahoma stuff back here.
I do got an Oklahoma glass bottle back here. Sent to us. That was really nice. Got Kentucky bourbon in it. But yeah, that was really cool. So I want to get out there. The thing I want to try is the swirlies. Everybody talked about it. And I know you were excited about the kind of the bar scene there in Norman. I think that would be really cool.
Mm.
And the food.
Well, of course.
Since I'm banned from my favorite restaurant.
All right. Hey, how about this, Shane? Let's get back into football now. But did you see this? I was just kind of curious to pick your brain on this. But old Jalen Milroe, polarizing figure when it comes to NFL draft and all that.
Yeah.
He is going to be attending the upcoming drafts in Green Bay. Hopefully it doesn't snow up there. But so what's your thoughts on Jalen Milroe attending the NFL draft? Do you think it's a wise move? Because there's a lot of people think he's going to, I mean, hell, some people don't even think he deserves to be in like the first three rounds.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's going tells me he's pretty confident he's going to be a first round pick.
Well, I mean, somebody's in his ear telling him that, you know what I'm saying? And hopefully it's the case, because there's nothing worse, I think, for draft day. I mean, the Will Levis memes still are floating around online, you know? So I hate for the kid to get up there, but he is polarizing. He is exciting. I would imagine, you know, he would take it probably better than most, but yeah, that's a bold strategy, but that's also a strategy that shows confidence. And I think that should also be a little bit alarming in those GM offices when they're looking for a guy to lead their team.
So what percentage, if you had to go 0 out of 100, do you give it that Jalen Milroe goes in the first round?
0 out of 100. I would say, I'd probably say 55%.
Yeah.
So like it's a coin toss, but I would give a little bit to it, because he's, you know, the thing about Milroe is like, if it doesn't work, can it work? He's not like a typical quarterback.
Yeah.
There are other options. He's just a freak athlete that I think they'll find somewhere for him to land. So I would say the floor is a little higher than some of these other kids they're looking at.
And they always say it, Shane, but it's so true. They only need one NFL team to fall in love with them.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. And if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a shot in the NFL. So
right.
I was thinking about 25% that he'd go in the first round. Now with this news, I'm starting to get swayed. I'm right there with you. I'd say about 50%.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the draft, the Masters, man, it's all coming, Mike. You know what I'm saying? There's stuff that's getting us to college football. So I enjoy that.
Well, you know who's getting us there, Shane?
Who's that?
Cousin Glenn Warsaw. How about it, Shane? He just gifted
five
memberships all in the channel. So shout out Oklahoma man. He just got gifted a membership. Ozark Hillbilly, Stephen L, the Aggie, and Kenny Davis have all been gifted memberships. Thanks to Cousin Glenn.
Welcome
to the family. Please boycott Cracker Barrel. And then JR came back. I mean, JR just will not be outdone, Shane.
No,
Glenn, shout out Glenn. We appreciate you, buddy, for donating five. So JR says, all right, I'll donate five too. I'm going to butcher this name. Aloysius Fulton, Sam Thomas, Degenerate Jake. What a name. Slap Nuts.
Jeez.
And Cousin Casey have all been gifted memberships. Thanks to the legend, JR. Welcome
to the family. Promo code JR coming through.
We need to give JR his own like promo code or something. You know what?
Yeah, or at least, but like put him in the box over here and he could say a few words, you know, why he chose these families to blast.
All right. Hey, how about this one, Shade? So little clip here.
Mm-hmm.
And this clip gave me some inspiration for, you know, this whole next segment here. But this is now Ole Miss, used to be LSU, played at LSU for 4 years. Safety Sage Ryan, he was asked about it. Hey, you go play your former teammates here. And these comments went kind of viral. I didn't think there was anything wrong with these, but they did go a little viral. Here's Sage Ryan on Ole Miss facing LSU. He's pretty excited, it sounds like.
I guess I'm going back to my theme from earlier. You played in that uniform for 4 years. What will it be like when you play against them in the fall? Have you given that any thought yet?
Yeah, I can't wait. When do we play them again? Do y'all know?
Late September, I think.
Yeah, I'm seeing red already. I'm ready. You know, it's going to be – I can't wait to go against my former teammates like Aaron Anderson and all of them. I know they got a couple new guys, so I'm ready to compete. It don't matter who line up in front of me. So, and my guy Nuss back there, so it's going to be fun. We came in the same class, so it's going to be a good battle, and I'm ready.
All right, so like I said, it's not like he called them out and said, we're going to whoop their ass, and I hate those guys or anything like that. But it did go viral because a lot of LSU fans, let's call it what it is, they're happy he's gone. The defense has been a train wreck, you know what I mean? So, yeah. But he's you know, a veteran, and now it sounds like he's becoming a leader in Oxford. So they lost everybody in the secondary. So he's like a day one immediate starter.
Yeah.
You don't have any issues with his comments there, though, do you? Or do you?
No, I don't. I don't think it was really that. That's how slow news is, Mike. The fact that this is the best, you know what I'm saying? But if this was said in September, people would have glossed right over it. I believe that there is a little bit to that. But also, like you said, it's like when you have a breakup. You know, I see this. I got teenagers, and when they have the breakup and they say mean things on the way out type thing, you know, I feel like that's kind of what happened here. And they had this breakup and LSU saying all this bad shit. But I do think that that could be used as ammunition for him. And who knows, it may make this rivalry, because that's what it is, even more important that week, just because it's now a little bit more personal. So I love it. I love the storylines coming into this one. It seems like yesterday Lane Kiffin was already, you know, talking about the LSU matchup. So this is a game that kind of hangs out in Ole Miss's mind, and you better damn believe that it hangs out in LSU just because of the way it ended last year.
Right. So I took this clip, I listened to it, and then I said, man, how many guys we got this season, Shane, transferring from one SEC school to another? And which of those matchups am I most looking forward to? So there's a, you know, a pretty lengthy list. A lot of these didn't make the cut, but I did want to ask you about one specifically. So I'm going to start at the bottom. So these are the ones that don't make the cut. But old Harrison Bailey. You remember that? How the legend that was going to be Harrison Bailey at Tennessee, Jeremy Pruitt got fired, and then it never occurred, obviously. But now he's Florida's backup quarterback. Florida, Tennessee, that's always a big time game. It's later in the season this year. It's going to be second to last game of the season, I believe. Let me throw up Florida's schedule here. But here's what I wanted to throw your way, because this is like a little bit of a unique one, Shane. Do you want to see Harrison Bailey as a Tennessee fan in this game? Because that could mean many of things. We never root for injuries. We're not rooting for injuries. But if he's out there, maybe it means an injury. Maybe it means Billy Napier got fired and DJ Lagway's already in the portal. Or probably the most likely, Florida's whooping Tennessee's ass and they're saying, well, let's just put Harrison out there. You know, to close us out. So how bad do you want to see Harrison Bailey, if at all, in that game?
I don't want to see him at all. And honestly, I just feel like something really bad happened to either Tennessee or Florida if that were the case. And I will say this, I am a fan of Harrison, and I'm not, it seems like yesterday when Tennessee was recruiting him, I couldn't believe they landed him. You know what I'm saying? I felt like this was kind of your franchise quarterback for a while, and things didn't pan out. And, you know, he had a couple issues, a couple devils he was dealing with, and who knows, brother? I mean, how many times have you seen a success story of a quarterback that comes back to the league, or just a player in particular, you know, and realizes it's kind of his last dance? So, you know, I'm not saying Harrison out there is a bad thing for Florida. I think it's more would be a bad thing for Tennessee, because one of two things happened. Either Harrison really excelled you know, or they put in a backup because they got a lead. So either one. So when you ask, would I like to see him? No, I wouldn't, but I wouldn't mind seeing him after the game, you know, telling him good job and good luck for, you know, maybe he'll win next week.
Okay. Okay. And then we just had Sage Ryan. So he's on the list, him and Deshaun Womack. They transferred to Ole Miss from LSU. But again, I don't think we're excited for that game for different reasons.
Yep.
Donovan Green transferred, the tight end, from A&M to LSU. Yeah. So that's on the list. Courtney Crutchfield, receiver. He was at Mizzou, Shane. He's from Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Mizzou stole him away. He was the number one receiver. I think he may have been number one Arkansas prospect a year ago. Now he's back at Arkansas. He could be the number one receiver at Arkansas. So I may be underrating that transfer, but that's an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
Tight end Jordan Dingle. And he was at Kentucky. Now he's at South Carolina. Switch sides on the Sunglass Bowl. So there's already some bad blood there. Jordan Matthews went from Tennessee to Vanderbilt, defensive back. I'm going to butcher this guy's name. Kenyu Kanote was at Alabama.
Yep.
Now he's at Vanderbilt. Shane, that's a huge game this year. I mean, if Alabama loses to Vanderbilt 2 years in a row, they'll never, never live it down. And the fact we got guys transferring from Alabama to Vanderbilt lets you know this is a new age of old Vanderbilt. You know what?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because Vanderbilt all excited. And, of course, Bama's like, well, we didn't need them anyway. You know, we were making room anyway.
Hey, shout out cousin Greg. Gregory, he gave us, he says, KU is going to catch a beat down.
Oh, baby.
In Como. Yeah. I appreciate you, brother.
Absolutely. Oh, man, you get to see it for a while, too.
We also got defensive lineman Shane Jaylen Brown. He went from Mizzou to South Carolina, so that just made that was close to the list. All right, now these are the top five that didn't quite make the list, Shane. Yep. Linebacker Brad Spence, he was pretty good at Arkansas. Now he's at Texas.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he's at Texas, I mean, that's a heated rivalry, so that'll be one. Ugh, Mississippi State, Shane, they lost a pair of receivers, Kevin Colbin to Mizzou.
Oh, yeah.
And they're playing this year at Mizzou. And Mario Craver, A&M, was at Mississippi State. Man, Mississippi State. Mm-mm-mm. As soon as you got a good player, they jump ship to another SEC program. Hate it for them. How about this one? I know you'll like this one, Shane. Receiver Amari Jefferson, one of the top prospects from Tennessee. He signed with Alabama, wanted to play for Nick Saban. Nick Saban retired. Now he's back at Tennessee, so there's some bad blood there. And then this one was very close, Shane, very close to the list. Tight end Amari Nyblack, now at A&M.
Yes.
Was at Texas last year. So, buddy, anytime we get a transfer between these two,
And you know Bama, what? You know, I mean, he's been around. He's been around the block a few times.
So here's here's my top five, Shane.
I do like the Jefferson, by the way. He was up here at the mall. You remember your hometown, little mall? They was doing some autographs, you know, getting the locals fired up.
So really?
I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. And then,
did you go up there?
No, I was at Longhorn and somebody told me. Yeah. A better restaurant. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding, Cracker. I'm going through it right now.
Our DMs are open, Longhorn. All right, here's my top five, Shane.
Yeah.
Zach Calzada, Kentucky.
Yes.
Playing at Auburn. He was at Auburn. People forget he was at Auburn for a hot minute. He went there to go play for Harsin. He got injured. Harsin got fired. The rest is history. But Zach Calzada, buddy. How bad would it be? I mean, this ain't on Hugh Freeze. I know I like to bag on Hugh Freeze. But if Kentucky, I'm just going to say, whoops, Auburn's ass, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm sure they probably will. But if they do, and they do it with Zach Calzada, who was on the roster there, I mean, how awful of a look will it be for old Hugh?
Oh, buddy. Yeah, I mean, it would be bad. People are going to be like, yeah, I mean, unless you're watching this show, I don't think people will remember that Calzada wasn't at, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, he's still a quarterback. I feel like that would happen. And then all of a sudden he would be an instant celebrity. He would be the new Pavia, you know?
Yeah. I think us and Nick Roush are the only ones that know that Calzada's up there. You know what?
Yeah, I can't wait. A&M fans be like, whoa, shit. You know, Calzada's back.
All right, number four, Shane. How about this one? Some bad blood here.
There was a moment too. I don't want to just belittle Calzada. This show was a big Calzada fan for like a week or two. You
beat
know?
Nick Saban.
So, yeah. I mean, he's had some moments and I give Kentucky a hard time, but I think Calzada brings his A game. He's kind of the same Harrison. He's on his last dance, if you will.
Like Cousin Bo says, A&M legend, Zach Calzada.
Yeah.
Beat Nick Saban. I mean, hell, there's how many quarterbacks in college football can say that right now? He may be the only one.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, number four. There's bad blood here, Shane. Two LSU guys, receiver Nick Anderson and tight end Bowers Sharp, when they play at Oklahoma here, buddy. But you cannot lose this if you're LSU, given that, well, quite frankly, you know, because you're trying to make the college football playoff. If you're losing at Oklahoma, I think Oklahoma's going to be much improved. I think I'm starting to win you over to that.
Yeah.
But again, but you also are very high on LSU, and you think I believe they could make the playoff as well. But I doubt they're going to be making it if they're losing their last game on the road at Oklahoma. Nick Anderson, he was very popular in Norman.
Yeah.
He's not popular there anymore, Shane. Neither is Bowers Sharp. So the fact that these guys are coming back, I think there's some juice to that game now.
There is. And I feel like as an Oklahoma fan, you'd be, you know, if you lose that game, you'd be like, God, if we had these guys healthy, that, like, you know what I'm saying? Because it felt like Sharp was misused. It felt like Anderson just couldn't get healthy. And I feel like there'll be a little bit of that. But if they beat them, they'd be like, mother. You signed up for it. I would imagine the tweets would be rolling. So this may be not only in that locker room, but I think it'll be huge for the fans because they'll be thinking about that one for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. And then number three, I kind of cheated a little bit here, but I think you'll go with me here. Tight end Luke Hawes.
Yeah.
Quarterback Jalen Braxton and offensive lineman Patrick Kudus all went to Ole Miss.
Yep.
Playing Arkansas this year. Now, it helps them, I think, that it is a home game, so you won't have to go into those confines and just get destroyed by those fans. But, man, the fact that they basically all did it in the same day, you know, this is old Trolling Kiffin. He had this up his sleeve the whole time, and he was retweeting fans saying, oh, Arkansas is nothing but damn developmental program now for Ole Miss.
Yes.
There's some bad blood here, I think.
And Gronk just hit when Twitter, this happened. I saw like three pigs being carried by Lane Kiffin a million different ways. So yes, this is one that probably stuck in their craw a little bit, but also Sam Pittman, you know, Lane Kiffin does these things to kind of get excitement and buzz, but he also creates a lot of hatred toward him. So I would imagine Razorback fans would be really excited to get that game, but Ole Miss fans, be sure to point out, you know, who they're going to take from the roster next year type if they win.
All right, number two, Shane, and this, quite frankly, maybe not on my radar till spring football, but he came out, we played the clip from him. Shout out LSU defensive lineman Shane, Jack Pyburn, formerly of Florida. But he came out and said, hey, it's great to be at one of the finest institutions, better facilities, better this, better that. And the way I understood it, I mean, I think Florida really, they valued Jack Pyburn, but they didn't value him as much as LSU, if that makes sense. So,
again,
that adds to the bad blood. And hell, quite frankly, we've talked about it before, Shane. Whoever wins that game, Florida at LSU, it's really, really, I think, going to kick off a potential playoff-type run. And I'm not saying the loser can't get there, but it'll be potentially a monumental speed bump. Quite frankly, I think the loser of that game is given what they both have ahead of that.
Yeah.
I don't think the loser's making the playoffs. So that's a huge game to me.
A lot riding on that one. It is a huge rivalry, even though, again, none of them will mention it. This is always a close game, typically a close game. And now you're going to probably have a little bit of a voice of that defense telling you how bad they want to beat Florida. And then you got the Gators on the other side, especially the fans hearing those comments. I would imagine that they're pretty pissed off too. You know, nobody wants to see their school belittled. And that's basically what Jack did there. So, yeah, this one's got a little extra juice coming into this one for sure.
Mm-hmm. And then number one, I think this is undisputed, Shane. You can dispute it all you want, but you'll be wrong.
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready. I feel like disputing. Give me your manager, as they say.
Jackson Arnold, baby, coming back to Norman September 20th. It's a huge game. SEC opener for Auburn. SEC opener for Oklahoma. Man, there's going to be so much trash talked, and the losing team is going to get destroyed. Their season, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility, Shane, that Auburn, if they lose that game, they may have already lost to Baylor. I mean, they could be sitting here 2-2 again. Once again, after a whole offseason last year, we were saying, man, Auburn's going to cruise to 4-0. They went 2-2, and it was, oh, buddy, that's when things went sideways. Same thing could happen here. Same thing could happen here if they're 2-2 before the meat of the SEC schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's two camps, Mike. Either Jackson's good and hasn't had an opportunity, or Jackson is not good. And I feel like having this game so early in the year as well, it's kind of a launch pad for Jack. If he is a legit quarterback in this conference, By the time that he faces, you know, Oklahoma, he'll have Baylor and OU under his belt. And I think people will then look at Venables and say, you had this guy, you know? So I feel like there's a little extra stress on the coaching staff there as well. So yeah, this is a high figure, big name. Out of all the transfers, this was kind of one of the biggest surprises for me. I mean, I know the season didn't go as well, but you don't think, hey, they're going to go down the street and play in week four next year, you know? But that's exactly what we're going to have, and I can't wait to kind of, you know, get this game rolling about a week before.
Yeah, and you know, the only thing, Shane, that smells worse than losing your rival?
Smells worse? Cracker Barrel.
And someone that doesn't use Mando, shopmando.com. Don't forget it, Shane, shopmando.com. Promo code SEC. Get you $5 off a starter pack over at Shop Mando. That's shopmando.com. Dio had a name, oh shame, and it was Shop Mando. Promo code SEC, $5 off. What is a starter pack, you say, Shane? Solid stick of deodorant, cream tube deodorant, and two products of your choosing for free, Shane. Free shipping. Check them out. Clinically proven to block odor like Hugh Freeze's coaching record for 72 hours. All products baking soda free. I heard Cracker Barrel uses nothing but baking soda. Don't fact check me on that. But can't beat it. Shane, shopmando.com. Promo code SEC, $5 off. 40% off the whole package.
Come on now. I mean, that's the best deal since sliced bread, Mike.
Yeah. All right. Hey, how about this, Shane? Mm-mm-mm. How about this? This is wild, Shane. News out of Alabama. Mm-hmm. Not official. Nothing's official, right? Because we got a new portal window coming up. I think we have done away with naming a starting quarterback in the spring.
Okay.
Because if you do that, then one or two of your guys is going to hit the portal. You know what I mean? Yeah. But by all indications, sounds like Ty Simpson. It's going to be your starting quarterback down in Tuscaloosa when the season rolls around. Does that change anything for you for Alabama? Does that give you more confidence? Does it give you less confidence? I mean, he is a veteran. He's been there many a year. They got the five-star freshman, Russell. They got the other, Kendall Mack. Ty Simpson, if he is a starting quarterback, Shane, are you buying Alabama? Are you selling Alabama, or still wait and see?
You know, I think I'm on the wait and see approach right now. And I have been since we had quarterback controversy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I feel like coach coming out here and putting this thing to bed is I think a win-win, but you also know there's a wild card in your locker room that could potentially be special, you know? So I feel like maybe that has something to do with it is I'm not saying we're going to have a two quarterback situation next year, but instead of coming out and saying it's a tight race, go ahead and get the one guy, find a way to get this freshman in there because, you know, if what we're hearing is correct, he could be special as well. So, yeah, I'm a little bit more at ease with the Alabama situation. So I would say more optimistic.
Well, old Kalen DeBoring, he sounded pretty optimistic, Shane. Here's his recap of the competition in spring. Again, he didn't come out and say Ty Simpson's our guy or anything like that, but that's all the buzz behind the scenes.
Yeah, hey, Coach, just what did you see from the quarterbacks today, and how have you gone about maybe splitting up those reps between the three?
Yeah, it was I don't want to say it was even across the board, but they all kind of got their shot with the ones and twos, especially – just because they're older. Keelan's doing a great job, but with Ty and Austin, Keelan definitely works in with the twos. He'll get one reps from time to time, you know, that's no indication of really where we feel he's at. He's killing it. He's doing a great job. You can see when he's out there, he's getting more and more comfortable moving the ball down the field. When there's a throw to be made, he'll make the throw, that's for sure. So just the learning curve, I think, that comes along with being young, but those other two guys, you know, a little bit more, you know, as far as understanding the offense, and you're trying to continue to install things, and they have a grasp of the basics from day one, so you can do just a few more things. But, you know, they're all three, you know, making throws, making some big-time throws. I thought they all moved the chains at times when they maybe had their backs to the wall, maybe some second and third and long situations where they found a way to make a big throw. Obviously, someone's got to catch it too. I think continue to got to be trust, I think, with the offensive line, and then it's got to go the other way too. The offensive line just getting used to cadences and getting used to, you know, what that guy does. Does he usually break to the outside and scramble? I mean, some guys just have those type of you know, instinctual things they do, and they're all a little bit different. But receivers, I think it really doesn't matter who's throwing to them. I think all three of those guys throw a catchable ball. It's just a matter of who can move us up and down the field the best.
Do you throw a catchable ball, Shane?
Yeah, I think so. Not as far as I used to, but I'm that's the thing. You get older, and maybe that's why I like golf so much. Mm-hmm. I am a competitor. Now, I don't look like it, but, you know, growing up, when you have brothers and cousins, and you just learn to, you know, be competitive. And then you get older, it's like, I can't play that sport no more. You know, that's why that one, him and Lane and Jackson used to play all the time. What's that game? It's not like tennis, but it's kind of like it.
Yoga?
No. Jeez, Mike.
Ping pong.
It's like ping pong, but But anyway, they created this game because older, slower people needed something to do. So, you know, I still love throwing football, but I just can't launch it 40 yards anymore.
Liquid said he'd show up to a bad SEC podcast golf tournament.
Golf. Come on. It's coming, man. I'm putting together something pretty special. I hope you guys are going to enjoy it. But before I started videoing it, I kind of wanted to get a little bit better at it. When I first got out there, it was absolutely shit. But I'm going to take you behind the scenes on a little golf outing with Big Cuz.
Wait, so are you doing pickleball? Or were you talking about pickleball, or were you talking about ping pong?
I was just referencing old people sports. And you're asking if I throw a catchable ball. Well, I do, as long as it's not further than like 30 yards right now. I think I still can get on there on 30, but I got to warm up.
Would you do disc golf, or don't they call it frisbee golf?
Never was really good at throwing frisbees, Mike. I went to a Young Life camp when I was younger, and that was like the thing back there. Mm-hmm. But these kids are like professionals, and I've lost a couple at a picnic before, but these are like legit, and they were in bags and everything. And that's when you knew, I was like, what did I walk into here? And no, I maybe, but it's one of those things, kind of I'd have to practice with a bunch of people that never played before I can enjoy the sport.
I will tell you this, Shane, there's a Frisbee golf course right by my house here at the park. And I don't know what it was, but on 420 last year, I mean, you couldn't even walk the damn park. You know what I mean? I think there was some cornbread going on or something.
Shit, I'll tell you. But hey, like, ain't nothing like Atlanta when we left down the SEC championship. We went through Little Baby's concert crowd there. Boy, I tell you what, my boss drug tested me the next day and I would have been fired. Hell, I'd take a nap halfway to the room.
Well, speaking of another old timer, Shane, how about this? Arkansas. So they hired the GM, right?
Yeah.
From the Boston Celtics, Remy Cofield, I think is his name.
Uh-huh.
Why are you hiring a basketball GM? What in the hell's going on here? Here's Sam Pittman on that.
I guess this is the first time we've gotten to talk to you since Arkansas made it official with Remy Cofield. Just impressions of him. I know he's a basketball guy. What have you maybe learned from talking to him, and how are you guys working together right now?
Well, I mean, I coached ninth grade girls basketball too, but I'm a football guy. So, and I enjoyed coaching those girls too. But that was in 1986, by the way. I think coming from the professional ranks, I think he's seen and heard, and regardless of the sport, exactly what we're looking for, you know, more eyes, help, understanding caps, all those things that he has great experience of. So I'm looking forward to working with him and using him every bit as much as he's able to be used. Because we need help in that category, and I'm not talking about just the evaluations, and all. I'm talking about all of it, the money, a way to talk to agents, some things that can take that that personal relationship between me and the kids. Somebody can be a buffer, you know, and along with a lot of other things. But I'm looking forward to working with him.
So a GM like this, Shane, it's hopefully, I mean, the whole plan, right, is to take a lot off your plate, particularly in areas that you're not used. I mean, hell, these coaches, Shane, they're not used to dealing with a salary cap, with allocating how much does a quarterback get, how much should the left tackle get, how much should the right tackle get, on and on and on. I mean, there's a logic to everything, right?
Yeah.
And when you start getting enamored with a player, you know, maybe he's a good leader, maybe his position is not that vital. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many things. I think it's smart to have a coach over here. I'm doing all this stuff. The GM's doing all the rest. Let him make the tough choices. That's the bad guy. I'll be the good guy. That's what it sounds like they're going to go for Arkansas. But I mean, I don't see how you get by without having one of these guys moving forward.
Yeah, I get that. I definitely do. But you ever heard that saying, there's too many Chiefs and not enough Indians? And I wonder, Mike, if I mean, you saw the Cal situation, you brought up to my attention. I don't know if you've talked about it on here, but I feel like there's going to be moments when not only the AD is looking for his, you know, to cover his ass, but now a GM's looking to cover his, and that all that kind of trickles downhill to the head football coach. And, you know, I just kind of wonder what kind of pressure situation we're going to have. But, you know, he makes a good point. The buffers between these kids, the financials, which, you know, Sam Pittman doesn't come across as a guy that pays his bills. You know what I'm saying? I bet he gives the check to the wife, and he probably has no idea where the electric company is, you know, but I know he knows football, and I know he knows personal relationships. And let's let Sam focus on what he's really, really good at, and have someone else kind of take over what he's not. So I think a GM would be good, but it does make me wonder at some point, is there too many chefs in the kitchen, you know?
I've heard that one. I never heard the Chiefs and Indians or whatever, but yeah. Too many cooks in the kitchen. I've definitely heard that. But hey, one other Sam Pittman. So I thought this was fascinating, Shane. I mean, and I appreciate this, because this is real, this is honest. But he's asked, you know, you know, who are the players you're looking for, or not? He can, I don't think he can say the players, but what positions are you looking for in the portal? And listen to how many times he references money, because this is what it is. This isn't, oh, I mean, all these transfers. Why'd you come here? Oh, I love the culture. I love the, no. More often than not, it's because they're offering more money, right?
Yeah.
So here's Sam Pittman on the portal. I just thought this was pretty interesting.
Primarily safety.
Trey, I'd like to get some safeties. Yeah, I'd like to get some safeties. And you know, we're still in a waiting deal, see where Kanai is as well, you know, at corner. But if you look at our board, our numbers in the secondary aren't very good. And so they're not horrendous or anything like that, but we need to add 3 to 4 back there minimum. Depends on how far the money stretches.
You've gotten some good, like, linebackers over the years that, like, I'm thinking Greer, Swiss Army Knife, you know, guys that maybe from a lower classification that maybe had something to prove. Any thoughts about adding another veteran linebacker? Because you do get pretty young after that first group.
Yes, absolutely. Man, I'd like to add a whole bunch of guys, you know, just how far the money will go. But, yes, veteran.
Right. So, I mean, then we want to add guys, but what's it going to cost? What's our budget? All these things have to be factored in. I just think it's kind of fascinating that, again, this is he's keeping it real here, but it's a little wild, isn't it, to hear coaches talk like this?
Well, yeah, obviously it's weird. I mean, if you were listening to this show 20 years ago, you'd be like, wait, I'm sorry, what did he say? This, like, would have been
5 years ago.
Yeah, this would have been front page, you know. But, you know, you can't sit there with Tyson behind you and, you know, freaking a check being sent to you tomorrow, I believe. I think April 7th when it hits the checking account. So at midnight, you know, that's better not be in a casino. Better we get some DBs, you know what I'm saying? So.
Right. Well, no. So that'll starts July 1st.
Oh, what's tomorrow? What's April 7th?
But April 7th, I mean, this is so crazy how this all is working out. But there's a judge. She's going to make the decision whether we can do like a salary cap starting July 1st. So it all hinges on this one judge, whether she says, all right, we can do this or not. And I mean, that's where we're at. And here's a wild thing. I don't think we've talked about this. Starting July 1st, so there's going to be a cap, right? And the number is going to be around $25 million for all sports, not just football, all sports. You can spend more. You can still do NIL, but every single NIL dollar after July 1st is going to be reviewed to see if it's legitimate or not. Like, you can't just give the backup punter $500,000 to tweet about your car dealership.
Yeah.
Because that's not good value, right? What you're essentially doing there, which is what they're all doing now, is paying to be on the roster. Mm-hmm. That's illegal. So there's a lot of players want their NIL before July 1st, and a lot of schools are eager to give it to them. So, I mean, there's just so many moving parts to all this.
Mm-mm-mm. Mike, I tell you what, every time I get on here, there's a judge doing this, judge doing that. So,
how do we get a judge involved with this Cracker Barrel?
I've never seen so many judges getting judgy on here. So, man. So, there's one judge that's kind of deciding the fate of college football right now.
Well, all of college sports, yeah, because they're all essentially going forward as if this is like, who's this a sure
judge,
thing.
You know, is it?
I don't know her name, but
is she in Alabama or is she in New York? Or I mean, these are vital things. I didn't even know this. I need to pay attention more.
Yeah, I think I could be completely wrong, but I think it's California.
Oh God! But see, no, I mean, it could be good. It could be good.
That's why, because they're liberal. In case anybody doesn't know, they're liberal out there, so they. The thinking is she will allow the players to make $25 million.
Oh, well, that'll be good for the players.
Right. So, okay. So they're, and the SEC and everybody's saying, please do this, because They're moving forward as if this has already taken place.
Well, California was one of the first states to allow high school players to get paid, you know? So
right.
You would imagine that would continue. Okay. All right. I was just going to make sure it wasn't, you know, not allocated to football or something.
And I, quite honestly, Shane, I think it's good that it's outside the SEC's hands or SEC region, because I feel like we've already seen these crazy state laws. Missouri, we can bend the rules. Tennessee, we can bend the rule. Every state is going to bend the rules to help their program, which I don't fault them for.
Yeah.
But I think they continue to fault it if they can in favor of their school.
I got you. I got you. I'm just going to sit back, enjoy the ride. We'll know tomorrow, right?
Hopefully.
I'm sure it'll be postponed.
Yeah. And then last one, Shay, not a big revealing thing, but we haven't got a lot of Kentucky. Mark Stoops on his quarterbacks. We were hyping up Calzada. Let's hope up. How do you feel about these quarterbacks after hearing from Mark Stoops?
Yeah, without a doubt. I got to give you guys some content, and so I'm talking about some guys. You watch practice, so I have to comment on that. But in general, I appreciate that as the group. You know, the group is growing. Zach brings in a guy that's played 6 years. You know, he's played, you know, this is 6 year college football. So anytime you get that type of experience, you know, we've seen snaps, we've seen him playing. And now it's a matter of getting comfortable in our system, putting it all together. You know, through spring, there's some things that look sloppy, that look ugly at times. Then we got to just pull it all together. And so both guys have made a lot of growth. Cutter's getting better as well. You could see both guys have very live arms. And, that's a good thing. There's a lot to build on.
What do you like about your quarterback? He's old.
No.
I don't know if that was the right answer. You know what?
No, but it is something that he's kind of hammering on. Earlier comments, last week he was talking about, this is the deepest team, you know, I don't know if that's what you want to hear, is that they're deeper, that it's older, that, you know, but I don't know. He kind of has that, what did he call it? Blue collar approach type deal.
They're all wearing the blue collars.
Yeah. I feel like maybe that's why, because half of them were doing that last year. I don't know, but it just feels like this is kind of the motto. This is the, we're not going to be picked to win anything. You know, nothing will be given to this school, and who gives a shit who the quarterback is. And I kind of like it, because for a long time, Kentucky had some of these big names that had high expectations. And then we were just disappointed during the season. When Kentucky had its best run, its best football, it wasn't loaded a roster full of eyes. It was a damn team. And maybe that's the approach that, you know, that coach is coming out with here.
Yeah. And I'm glad you said that. You know, there's the other side of the coin, Shane. I feel like the decline of Kentucky football all started with the absurd hype around Will Levis.
Yeah.
That's been widely discussed on this show. And then it was Devin Leary. Oh my God, this kid's legit. Oh, maybe not. And then Brock Vandegrift. I mean, it's been hype after hype after hype. They've all failed to certain degrees. I mean, Will Levis was far and away the best of that group, but he turned out to not be the number one pick. Maybe it's the right approach now to say, well, we got nothing special. We're veterans. We're just handling business. Because quite frankly, I feel like that's what they got away from with in Lexington under Mark Stoops. They've gotten away from their identity. And maybe I'll stop being so negative. Maybe this is perfect. Maybe this is exactly what they need.
Yeah, we need some damn Benny Snails. You know what I'm saying? That's what we need.
Hey, shout out Liquid. He found this is the correct name, Shane. District Court Judge Claudia Wilkin of California. That's her name. I've heard that before.
Let me see if she blocked me on Twitter. Nope, we're good.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, anything else before we hop off the line?
No, man, it was great catching up. Looking forward to the national championship. Of course, we got a lot of crazy stuff about to hit the fan. You know, apparently this judge making a big decision. We've got a transfer portal about to crank up. I mean, there's a lot of wild things that can happen. We still got spring games going. So be sure to stay tuned. And as soon as we get some action, we'll be sure to send it to you. And I appreciate all the cousins showing up, all the support. You know, I will tell you right now, I was on cloud nine when my daughter got the job there at Cracker Barrel. And then I was brought back to earth when they blocked me. That it was, you talk about a roller coaster, but I appreciate all the cousins reaching out. And, hey, I look forward to some more times, some fun times. And, that's all I got, Mike.
Yeah. Right, and a little, show announcement. So the schedule is going to be a little weird this week.
Yeah.
We're going to take some time off in the middle of the week. I can't really say why, but I will tell you at a different day. Hate to be mysterious and all that, but we're working behind the scenes to do some cool stuff. Steven and I will be back tomorrow. We're going to do that regular show, but that may be the final show for a few days. But yeah, so that's all I got on that.
Hey, and that's, you just never know. You never know what's going to happen on this show. That's why you want to keep your notifications on, because just because that, who knows? We may jump on Thursday or Friday and have something for you. So just stay tuned. And yeah, you know, yeah, I can't say anything either, Mike. Yeah, sworn to secrecy. But it's going to be awesome. Got to be awesome.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, that's going to do it for this episode. I appreciate you, as always, for joining me. I appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.